I'd like us to sing this song, Cold to God's Unchanging Hand, maybe the first verse and then the chorus. And time is filled with swift transition. None of earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Oh, brother, hold to God's unchanging hand. Yes, hold to God's unchanging hand. And build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. One more time, the chorus. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hope, hallelujah, things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hallelujah, let us bow heads. Heavenly Father, the altar of life and giver of every good gift, we bless your name this morning, oh God. Like the song said, Lord, we are holding to your unchanging hand. Oh God, we worship you, Lord. Father, we thank you for giving us another privilege to come into the house of the Lord. You promise us in your word, oh God, where there are two or three gathered in your name, Lord, you are there in the midst to bless. We ask this morning humbly, Lord, may you please pour out the anointing, oh God, and break every yoke this morning. We want to remember your children that are not feeling well, Lord. May the angel of the Lord please go and heal their bodies this morning. We pray, oh God, may you come and speak to our hearts, oh God. May something be said, Lord, that'll liberate someone this morning. That'll draw us a little closer to you, Lord. That'll keep us walking in the light as you are in the light. Father, I pray, oh God, that you please take me out of the way this morning. Father, may you come and minister to our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for hearing our humble prayers this morning. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. You may be seated for a little bit. Thank you, musicians. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I'd like to speak this morning on a thought, what must we do to be saved? What must we do to be saved? But before we get into that subject this morning, I want to bring our attention to something this morning. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We know and we see that we are living in perilous times. Hallelujah. And we see that modern events are made clear by prophecy. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We can see that the handwriting is on the wall. Everyone is aware of these things. I want to read scriptures in Luke chapter 21 verses 25 through 28. This is what it said. It said, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. And upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. That word perplexity means a feeling of being confused and frustrated. It says the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts filling them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. I want to read some few quotes what the prophet said about the day we are living in. We are living in the fulfillment of prophecy. And the purpose of this is to wake us up, to let us to see the seriousness of the hour we are living in. If you're still sleeping, it's time for you to wake up and smell the coffee. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In 1960, the prophet said, listen, thus said the Lord, repent. I predict three curtains. In the name of the Lord, there's one called the Iron Curtain, which will be Russia. Watch Red China. That'll be the bamboo curtain. They are horrible. He said, but watch that purple curtain that's rising in the United States and over the world. The Roman Empire, the cruelest of all of them. He said, remember, in the name of the Lord, get away from it. Come away from anything that's attached to it. Flee to the rock. The coming of the Lord is at hand. We need a conference. I need a conference to talk these things over with God. The church is at the end of a row. Then he said, let us pray. He said, oh God, we know the coming is nigh. This has been a warm spot in my heart. He said, I just thank you for this little open door still. For a nation still, there is the privilege that we have of opening these doors. And no soldiers are coming in to arrest us and to take us out of here and to march us in the streets. But it won't be long, Father. We see all these things happening. Oh, let us prepare now, Father. Let us get oil while there is some just to receive. I pray that you will bless your people tonight. This was 1960 in a message conference. Also in 1960 in a message from that time, this is the prophet speaking. He said, and remember, thus said the Lord, there will be a woman rule before the end time. She'll either be president, vice president, or it'll be the Catholic Church as a woman. I've seen her, a great woman. The nation bowed to her. It'll be one before the end time. Thus said the Lord. He said, write it down and find out, young people. See if it happens. If it isn't, I'm a false prophet. This was 1960. And then he said, hallelujah. In 1961, in a message, the 70th week of Daniel, he said, now I predicted and have said, I saw a great woman stand up, beautiful looking, dressed in real highly royal-like purple. He said, and I got little parentheses down here. She was a great ruler in the United States, perhaps the Catholic Church. Some woman, I don't know, it'll be the Catholic Church. I don't know. I can't say. Only thing I seen the woman. That was all. He said, but this nation is a woman's nation. This nation is number 13 in prophecy. She's got 13 stripes, 13 stars. She started 13 colonies. 13, everything is 13, appeared in the 13th chapter of Revelation. She is 13, and she is a woman nation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then in the exposition of the seven church ages, the Laodicean church, is the prophet said, hallelujah. He said, the Catholic Church is on the rise. We have had one Catholic president, and will no doubt have another. What is left? Nothing except Hebrews 12:26. Hebrews 12:26 states, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he had promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Once more God will shake the earth, and with it shake everything loose that can be shaken. Then he will renovate it. This is where we're at, folks. The prophet said, he spoke this, hallelujah, I don't have the year here. He said, well, we had the first Catholic president. When we get the second Catholic president, after that is judgment. So now we got the second Catholic president. This is modern events. This thing is not politics. Modern events made clear by prophecy. This was the prophet of God speaking. We're living in it. So where are we at? We beyond church. This is homegoing time. God's word cannot fail. It will never fail. So we are living in a very, very serious time. The Bible says when these things begin to happen, look up. Your redemption is drawing nigh. I just wanted to bring that to your attention this morning. It's happening right now. We're living in it now. God's word cannot fail. It will not pass away. So it's up to you and me to get ourselves ready. People, a lot of people are not aware of these things. We are living in perilous times. Sometimes people think things are going to go back to normal. They're mistaken. What the Bible predicts will happen. The Bible said we must be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Jesus said, watch and pray, for you don't know the hour when the Son of Man is coming. We are already in the rapture. This is the first step, the shout. I believe those that are beyond the curtain are getting ready to come and pick up glorified bodies. All these things that are happening is not for nothing. Coronavirus and everything that's happening, there's a reason to it. The Bible spoke about these things that we are living in it. The prophet then, he was telling the young people, he said, mark this down. If this doesn't happen, then I'm a false prophet. We are living in it. If you play in church, you better wake up and smell the coffee. What we're doing here, this is not church. We're beyond church. We're here to get ourselves ready for rapture. We're already in it. We're heading to the next phase, body change. But in order to get body change, you have to be in condition for body change. Blessed be the name of the Lord. May we stand, please. I'd like to speak this morning on what must we do to be saved. Salvation now is the only thing that matters in this life. Not success, not houses, not cars, not bank accounts. The only thing that matters is your soul, because your soul is the only asset that you have. Everything we have in this life, we met here. Even the body you're living in, that you're standing in right now, you met here. Your father and mother produced that body, but you are more than the body. You are the soul that comes from God. But when you leave here, the only thing you're going to take with you is your soul. But where your soul, you see, dying is not the thing. People fear death. Death is just a crossing over. But after the Bible says, the point of the man wants to die. But after that is judgment. So where you're going to end up, it depends on what you do with the word of God now once you're in this body. Because we live as mortal ones. You got only one chance to be ready for eternity. It's up to you what you do with it. What must we do to be saved? Let us turn to the book of Acts chapter 2. I pray this message will prick your hearts this morning. It'll do something to you this morning to get ready. Because whether you like it or not, whether you're aware of it or not, we are living in it. Things are happening. I'm going to try to glance through the entire chapter, but I'll just read a few verses, then we can be seated. Acts chapter 2, let's read verse 1 through 4, then you can be seated. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, may I please have some water? They were all with one accord in one place. And certainly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire. Thank you, my brother. And it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. May the Lord add blessings to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Please bear with me with the time this morning. I'm going to try to crush everything in as much as I can. Hallelujah. Verse 5 says, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem devout men out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. I'll just take this off. Hallelujah. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these men we speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Then we go down to verse 13. Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, said God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Then we jump to verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be whole of it. Verse 29, hallelujah. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, speak of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus had God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made this same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? We want to focus on verse 37 this morning. But going down a little bit, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Men and brethren, when they heard the word, the Bible says they were pricked in their hearts. And then they cried out, they asked, men and brethren, what must we do? That's what we got our subject this morning. What must we do to be saved? Every individual has to come to the place to ask themselves that question. What must we do to be saved? There's no hope nowhere else. The only hope is Jesus Christ. Now, in the book of Genesis, chapters 1, 2, and 3, it speaks of the creation and the fall of man. In Genesis 1, 26, 27, it states, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So we see that God created man in his own image. Now that man that God created was a spirit man. For God is a spirit, Jesus said in John 4, 24. Now John 4, 24 states, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So in Genesis 1, 27, the man that God created was a spirit man. Hallelujah. Now in Genesis 2, 5b, it states, and there was not a man to till the ground. So in verse 7 of Genesis chapter 2, which states, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So we see here in Genesis 2, 7, God forming man out of the dust of the ground after creating man in Genesis 1, 27, which is a spirit man that is in his own, who is in his own image, because God is spirit. So that man that God created was a spirit man. We see that by breathing into his nostril, man's nostril, the breath of life, that God took that spirit man and placed him into the form man for contact. There was two men. Genesis 1:27 was the creator man, a spirit man, a supernatural man. But then there was no man to contact the earth. So then God formed a body and took that spirit man and placed him in his flesh body for contact. Hallelujah. Now man is a triune being, body, spirit, and soul. The prophet of God said a man is made up as a triune being, soul, body, spirit. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be his name. Now in a message, and knoweth it not, the prophet said, now let me draw you a little circle. Please give me your attention. I want you to follow me closely. I want us to take this thing from Genesis and run through the scripture, so we can understand why we need Christ, why we must be saved, why this thing is so relevant and important to you and me. Hallelujah. The prophet said, now let me draw you a little circle. He said, if I had a blackboard, but if I want you to watch here, I'm going to make one ring like this, and I'm going to make another ring on the inside of that ring. So he draw a bigger circle, and then he draw another one in that one. That's two. Then I'm going to make a ring on the inside of that. That's three. Three circles. Now that's you. Body, spirit, and soul. Man is a triune being. So when your loved one dies, that person is not dead. The spirit just left the body.
So all our family members that have died, our great grandparents, grandparents, our loved ones, children, family, cousins, whoever, they are alive. All they did was they just changed dimension. Remember when God created man, he was a spirit man. But that spirit couldn't contact the physical. So God formed the body and took that spirit man and placed him in this to contact the earth. So when a man's time is done on earth, his spirit man just leaves this physical body. Now we cry over the body and we say the man is dead. The man is not dead. He just left the body and he crossed over. But that man that left the body, where he's going to end up depends on what he does with the word of God. There are only two places you can go. You can either go up or you can go down, depending on what you do with the word of God. Men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? The salvation of your soul is more important than the achievement we achieve for our bodies in this life. Because that man that God created is a supernatural man. He goes on living. This is what prophet's talking about here, man. Hallelujah. He said, now that's you. He said, that's God. God in the Trinity. Denomination say God is three beings. Three persons in one. A person is a personality. But that's contrary to the scripture. God is a Trinity. It doesn't make God three. Hallelujah. He said, that's God. God in a Trinity is one. And without a Trinity, he's not God. He can't be manifested any other way. You are body, spirit, and soul. That doesn't make you three people. You see, it's the same pattern. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, and neither can you be manifested without being a Trinity person that you are. That's body, spirit, soul. Without either one of them, you are not complete. See, you didn't have a soul, you would be nothing. You didn't have a spirit, you wouldn't be nothing. You didn't have a body, you'd just be a spirit, not a body. So man is a triune being. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Let me just find the spot where I was at. Amen. Everybody following? Amen. Hallelujah. My note says here, now when God formed man, he placed five senses in the body for contact. See, taste, feel, smell, hear. Hallelujah. Now, in another message, blessed be the name of the Lord. Place is here. Hallelujah. Christ is the mystery. Christ is revealed in his own word. Hallelujah. The prophet said, and last Sunday when we was going into the circuit about how that the five senses on the other, on the outer realm, that's the inlet, five senses to the body. There's only one way you can get into the body, that's by those five senses. See, taste, feel, smell, hear. There's no other way to contact the body. On the inside of that man is a man called spirit. And he has five senses, conscience, memory, and so forth. Now you can't think with your body. You think with your mind. And in there is where too many of Christians only stop. And they can just, like the corn in the field, he went on with the plants and stuff. Let's skip that. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And in another message, works is faith expressed. I'm just trying to run through this. Hallelujah. He said, now remember, you are in a circle of threes, but you are one person, like Father, Son, Holy Ghost, circle of three, but one person. Three attributes of the same God, Father, Fatherhood, Sonship, and Holy Ghost, and you are body, spirit, and soul. Now the outside body has five inlets to it to contact your earthly home. See, taste, feel, smell, hear. The inside, which is a spirit, it has five senses, conscience, love, and so forth. But the inside of that, the soul, has one thing. That's where you live. So the real you is the soul man. The guy you're looking at is not me. is the house I'm living in. But the real me is the soul man on the inside. When I leave this body, people say, oh, Brother James is dead. No, I'm not dead. I just left the house I'm living in. It's like the clothes you wear. When you take your clothes off, you're not in the clothes. So we men, we look on the outside. We identify ourselves with the body. But you are more than just flesh. See, science tells you when you die, that's the end of it. That's all science knows. When you go to the hospital, the doctor can only treat the body. His instruments, everything to patch up the body. But you are more than the body. We spend time in this life. Everything we do is for the body. You go to school to get an education or get a good job to make money to take care of the body. But the body is not the real thing. Paul said, when this body be dissolved, we have another. So you are a spirit man. That's the Son of God, the man I was created in the image of God. He goes on living. But a lot of people in the world today, we focus everything on the body. We spend our lives on the body, and then when you leave the body, it's judgment. Because it's appointed unto man once to die after this judgment. You live as mortal once. So once you're in this body, you need to get yourself ready for eternity. Now, what you do with the word of God, and it tells you where you're going to end up. That's the purpose of Calvary. So a life without Jesus Christ is a wasted life. Consider the rich young ruler. He had everything. But one day his soul was required. Then he opened his eyes in hell. Then he cried. You see, when he was in hell, he was telling Abraham, let me go and warn my father, my family. See, he wasn't concerned about his wealth. He was concerned about the souls of his loved ones, the main thing. But when he was on earth and he had the privilege, he was focusing on the wrong thing. His success. There's nothing wrong with success and having these things, but these things are temporal. The only asset that you have is your soul. Everything here, we borrowed it. Jesus said, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Because your soul is the only asset that you have. The soul is not here to stay in this mortal life forever. It's going to go on. But after you leave here, where are you going to end up? There's only two places, heaven or hell. Depending on what you do with the word of God. What must we do to be safe? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to try to run through these things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The prophet said here in the message, the word became flesh. He said the soul is the nature of the spirit. Body, spirit, soul. The soul is the nature of the spirit. Depending on what nature you have in you, is the nature that influences that spirit, and that spirit controls the body. So if a man likes women, or if a man likes drinking or smoking or doing the things of the world, it's because the nature that's in him is not of God. And that nature in him, it's a falling nature. That nature takes you to hell. That's why you need Christ to come and change that nature and give you a godly nature that'll take you to heaven. But a lot of times people are focused on this life. People think I'm a good person, and because I'm a good person, I'm going to heaven. The Bible says all our righteousness is as filthy rags before God. Eternal life is a gift of God. It's grace. You are saved by grace. It's the grace of God. There's nothing you can do to earn your way to heaven. You see, that's a deception. People spend, there's nothing wrong with doing goods, but doing goods, that is, you can't work your way to heaven. There is nothing you can do as a sinful man to impress God, because the nature is fallen. We were born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come to the world speaking lies. Man got separated from God when he sinned. He lost his inheritance. He was on his way to hell, but God, rich in mercy, came down, took the form of man, and went to Calvary to make a way of escape. Now it's up to you what you do with that. When you cross over, God is not going to ask you how successful you were in this physical life. He's going to ask you, what did you do with my word? I made a way for you. What did you do with it? Why didn't you accept it? People go to hell because they chose to go to hell. The Bible says hell was created for the devil and his angels. But people go to hell because they chose to go to hell. They refuse the way that God has made for them because of sin. Because their nature is anti-Christ. Man is a free moral agent. God doesn't force you. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, then I will come in. So in order for Christ to come in, he will not force his way. He's a gentleman. But if you open the door, then he'll come in and give you eternal life and more abundantly because you are a free moral agent. But in order for you to open the door, it depends on what's in you. Let's not go into predestination. The decisions we make is based on what's in us. If you believe God, it's because the gene of God was there. It's that gene of God that influences you. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. You see, you cannot cross from goat to sheep. He said, you are always sheep. I'm a nagbe because I was in my father. I was my father's gene. So when I was expressed as a nagbe. I was a nagbe before I was expressed in this life. I didn't become a nagbe when I decided. I was always a nagbe. I can't change that. So you look, if you see my father, you look at my life, you see traits of my father in me. Because I was his gene. That's predestination. If you believe God, you believe God because there was a part of God in you. If you find yourself loving God and sitting here, it's not because of you. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loved me. That's why I love him back. Let's leave that alone. Let's stay right here. What must we do to be saved? Those men were pricked in their hearts. While others were laughing, ho, 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 these men are full of new ones. The prophet said they sealed themselves away. Because Jesus said, when the Spirit comes, one word against it will not be forgiven. So while others were sealing, you see there was two groups right there. Your attitude determined what class you're in. While others were laughing, ho, ho, these men are full of new ones. There were other group out saying they were pricking in her. Men and brethren, what must we do? Depends on what was in the people. Your attitude towards the word of God this morning depends on what's in you. There's an open door. We see the hour we're living in is late. So what are people doing with the word of God? God's already saved you. He already made a way. All you got to do is accept it. Accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and live. You got to choose life or death. The Bible says in Matthew, I believe it is, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many be that goes in there out. I'm just paraphrasing. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life. Few will find it. What will you do with this Jesus called Christ? There's no excuses on that day. So we see Genesis, the seed chapter. Let's see how man got in this condition to begin with. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll just skip some quotes here. Let me see. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, the time is doing me injustice this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Now in Genesis 2, we see God bringing a woman on the scene. In Genesis 2, 21 through 23, it states, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof." God was the first surgeon. "And this rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of the man." Now Genesis 2, 16, 17 speaks of God warning to men not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, lest he die. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now in the message, "Who is God?" the prophet said, he said, "Now let's look who God is just a little bit. Let's just take back and find out just a minute who God is. Let's look back at the beginning of time. This is a little picture I want to draw so you can get some conception of who this being is in our midst tonight. That's moving amongst us. God is here now. God is here now, but we don't see him because he's in a celestial body. He said, "Where there are two or three gathered in my name, I am there." The angel of the Lord is here right now. He said, "Now let's stick back 100 billion years ago, and then take back 100 billion years before that, and just keep going back. But let's think of before there ever was anything, there was God. He was in the beginning. Let's see him and picture him out there in space. That's Jehovah we are speaking of. And there, that great space where no one can fathom in their mind, beyond that space, eternity, that's Jehovah God out there. Now, before the beginning, Almighty God, this great eternal spirit, dwelt alone with his eternal thoughts. The prophet said, then when he was alone, he yearned for fellowship. God knows what it means to be alone. In the message adoption, the prophet saying, hallelujah, speaking of God, he said, there wasn't nothing but himself. He was self-existent. Nothing else existed but God. Hallelujah. In a message, God's provided a way of approach to fellowship. The prophet said, God created man for his fellowship. God loved to come down and to fellowship with his people. A lot of times the desires, people have desires to do things. The things that people do, that the thing they're trying, there's a voice. See, God created man with a desires for fellowship, for man to worship him. But because man has fallen, so he tried to fill that void with everything else. Some people go after money, some after women, some after pleasure. They're trying to fill, but that void was given for God. But the devil pervert the thing. Man was created for fellowship. Man was supposed to live forever. We are sons and daughters of God. We were created in the image of God. But because of sin, we find ourselves caught up in this perverted life. He said God loved to come down, that was before there was sin, and to fellowship with his people. The prophet said, he, God, has a purpose, and his purpose in the beginning to make creatures that will love him and worship him, and he made creatures, and creatures fell. Now before the fall in Genesis 3:1, it speaks of the serpent being more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Now that word subtle means sly, artful, cunning. Now we see in Genesis 3 during the fall, Eve committed adultery. See, the religious world says she ate an apple. She committed adultery. Let's see what the prophet said in Joseph meeting his brethren. He said, I want you to put on your deep thinking caps just for a minute now. Put on the helmet of salvation and listen close now. This is the prophet speaking. Here is something real vital, and you may disagree with it. It's all right, but did you notice there had already been a conception, for Eve had already lived unrighteous and had committed the sin. Where did that come from? That's in Genesis. Men today are trying to find the missing link between animal and man. He said, this is revelation. The Bible said that the serpent beguiled the woman. Today, man can bring up animal life, and the closest animal they have to the human being is the chimpanzee. They can make him smoke a pipe, ride a bicycle, put on a hat, tip it. That's just like gee and haw to a horse. It's sound. See, the chimpanzee doesn't have a soul. He follows sound because he's an animal. It has no soul, hasn't no soul. He can't think. He can only go by sound. He doesn't have a soul. Then they got a missing link right in between here that they never have been able to find. And for 6,000 years, they've tried to get one mother out of a chimpanzee and can't do it. They never will. He said, we know that we are animal life. Hallelujah, out of the earth. So this body is animal. God gave us body like animal, hands like monkeys and stuff. But the real you is the soul. This is just the house. People kill themselves for this body. People do plastic surgery. They spend millions and do all kinds of stuff. Why is medical insurance so expensive? People want to live forever. But no matter how much you patch yourself up, how much you spend, how much the best restaurant, the best food, you have an appointed time in this life. When your time is done, you leave. That's it. The prophet said, as I was saying the other day at our dear sister funeral, we are a bunch of 16 elements of the earth, of cosmic light and petroleum and things put together. We were here when God spoke and said, let there be. Our bodies were, but something of mastermind developed us into what we are now. Made us with hands and arms and so forth, not to destroy us, but that we might live forever. See? Sin done the destroying. And he who made us without us having any idea of ever being here, he that made us and brought these things together and made us what we are now, can he not much more by giving us free moral agency to accept it, and by the same word that created us, promised us that he would raise us up again. How much more will all this petroleum come together and the atoms and so forth? He's talking about resurrection. By the word of God. The body you live in is the word of God. When God said, let the dry land appear, where did the third come from? The word of God materialized. Because there was nothing. Before the beginning, there was nothing but God. So when God spoke, let there be light, where did the light come from? Where did the atoms come from? Those chemicals, where did they come from? There was nothing. God's word materialized. So the very body you're in now is the word of God. The clothes you're wearing is the word of God, because there was nothing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, now in the beginning when God spoke, Satan was standing there and he heard it. And the people are trying to find this missing link. I tell you, by revelation, if you want to receive it, that missing person between animal and man is the serpent. Before he had his legs taken from him. The Bible said he was the most subtle of all the beasts, not reptile. Of all the field, he was the one who beguiled the woman. So the serpent was the missing link between man and animal. He could mix his seed with man. The difference was the serpent had no soul, but he looked like a man, if I may say so. In his beauty, and she conceived. And now by doing that and seeing sin was coming, God put such a curse upon him till science would never find any relationship between the serpent. Just think about it. How can God tell something that's already on his belly, on your belly you will go? Does that make sense? People, if the serpent was the snake that people are talking about, how can God tell something that's already on his belly, on your belly you will go when he was already on his belly? Don't make sense. You see, as the devil deceived the people. He said, and now by doing that and seeing sin was coming, God put such a curse upon him till science will never find any relationship between the serpent as known today and mankind. But there is your falling, degraded being between that hook, them animal life together. There you are. God has hid it from the wise and prudent, the smart people, but will reveal it to babes such as will learn. See, there is your fallen person, the serpent. He was brought from the most subtle, the greatest, the most beautiful, the more like human being. And then because of this evil that he did with Eve, he brought him down to a reptile to go on his belly all the days of his life, and dust should be his meat. There is where signs can come to there, and their tree is knocked down. Notice now, as soon as the woman seen that the tree was good, she was deceived. She saw the tree was good for food. See, she didn't bring sin. She was deceived. The woman was deceived because she was not in the original creation. You see, when God created man in Genesis 1:27, the Bible says he created them male and female, he created them. But when God formed the body, he formed the man. And then God saw that it was not good for man to dwell alone. He put Adam to sleep, and he took the rib. He took the feminine spirit and formed another body. So Eve was not in original creation. That's why she was deceived. She thought it was right. But Adam was not deceived, said the Bible. He knew it was wrong, and she had him to do the same thing that the beast had done. She brought forth her first son, which all the traits of the devil was in that boy. He was a murderer. He was jealous. How could it come from the pure stream of God? Because Adam was created in the image of God. Before sin, there was no death. Who did the first murder was Cain. He killed his brother. See, Eve had twins. She had Cain, who is of the serpent, and then she had Abel. So you see where the trait comes from, what's in you. You do what's in you. What's in you influences you to do what you do. He could murder his brother Abel because evil was in him, because he was of the evil one. It had to come from the evil, and as soon as he did this, then the devil used a stool. She brought forth her second son, which was after Adam, and in there was Abel. And right quick, the devil tried to destroy that righteous seed, and he turned around and slew Abel to begin with, which is a type of Judas and Jesus. Slew him at the altar where Judas slew Jesus, betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver, and sold him. So you see the trait in Judas. The Bible says he was born a son of perdition. Judas didn't go to hell because he betrayed Jesus. He went to hell because he came from hell. You go back to where you came from after you leave this life. The prophet said there are three classes. We are all mixed together, but everybody's in a class. What's in you puts you in a class. If people refuse to receive this truth, it's because of what's in them. The prophet said, we see this message because we were ordained to see it. Jesus said, no man can come to me lest my Father draw him first. It's impossible to be a Christian if you're not a gene of God. That's just the way it is. I can never be a Gibbs because I'm a Nagby. It's impossible no matter how. Let's put it this way. I can never be white. No matter what I do, I can never be white. Because in my gene, I'm a black man. That's just the way it is. Let's bring that to the spiritual. Let's put it this way. You hear it say that dog is a man's best friend. No matter how much a best friend a dog is to man, he can never be a man. Sometimes people dress the dog, they put clothes on. He's a dog to begin with because he's got dog gene, dog nature, and that's all there is to that. You can never be a dog. I can never be a dog because we are human beings. That's just the way it is. Bring that to the spiritual is the same thing. The reason why some people don't want to accept eternal life is because of what's in them. You see it? And it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants everybody to come to heaven. People make the choices. We're free moral agents. Based on what's in you, that's how you approach the word. Some reject, some accept because of what's in them. Judas was an apostle. He preached the gospel. He raised the dead, probably healed the sick. But in his soul, he was a devil. If I plant apples, I cannot expect to get oranges. Because the seed is apple to begin with. That's just the way it is. Every seed will bring forth after its kind. Men and brethren, what must we do? What must we do to be saved? Look at the hour we are living, and yet people are so unconcerned. Why? Because of what's in them. You see it? God has done everything. There's an open door. But people are refusing to walk through the door because of what's in them. You cannot live higher than your testimony. Depends on what's in you. Oh, I'll just skip a lot of things because of the time. I really wanted to just break this down, but the time is far spent. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you see how it started. It started with those two lineages. Genesis, the seed chapter, exposes the devil. It was Cain's generation that started building city and all the scientists. It's Cain's lineage. Adam's lineage was humble farmers that served God, that loved God. It was Cain because of what's in them. The two lineages are still today. We don't know who is who. Some are of Cain lineage, some is Adam lineage. That's why people do what they do. We're in the last days. It's not what you do, it's what's in you. We got to find out what we're made of. I'm preaching today because something is in me that's motivating me to do what I'm doing for God. You are sitting here this morning because it's something that's, oh, the Spirit of God motivates you, but it depends on what's in you to respond. The deep calls to the deep, and the deep will respond. You see how the thing is? The Bible says, God looked down through time, the prophet said, I'm sorry, and seeing all those that could be saved who would not be, he foreknew it because his God is infinite. God knows his children. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. You plant the seed in the field, the rain just gives the increase. But whatever seed was in the field before the rain came, that's what's going to come out. So if you have apples, you have oranges, you have potatoes in the field when the rain comes, whatever that seed was will produce after its kind. The rain doesn't change the potatoes to oranges. Just gives the increase. The Spirit of God comes in a church and anoints the people, but it depends on what's in you. In non-seed, there's no quickening. So we look in the scripture when Peter preached, those men, who was breaking their hearts? You see two groups. Peter never separated anyone. He just preached the gospel. The other group saw as, ho, 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 these men are full of new wine. What caused them to do that? Depends on what was in them. And then you got the other group that was breaking their hearts. So men and brethren, what must we do? See? Those men was there before the disciples came out. Sometimes people sit on the word of God, they hear the word of God over and over and nothing. Some people just content with church. They're happy to go to church. That's it. Depends on what's in you. People are not concerned about your soul. You have one chance for your soul in this life. What are people doing with their souls? People are not thinking about eternity. Look at coronavirus. How people are dying. How many people are going to hell? With all this that's happening, people still aren't concerned. See? What must we do to be saved? It's up to you. God has already done everything. It's up to you. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. What must we do to be saved? The prophet said here in a message, God's covenant with Abraham. Let me read some things here. Please bear with me for the time. He said, your father or mother might have been sainted until they never said a bad word, kept all the laws, went to church, sacrifice, sanctify, holy and filled with the Holy Spirit. All that God would have for them, and yet you are born in sin. Everyone that comes to God is born the same way. Everyone comes into the world is born the same way. Sexual desire. Only one that was ever born without it, that was our precious Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost in the womb of Mary. And the blood comes from the male, and the male produced the blood cell. And the male this time was a supernatural being, which could not have sexual desire. And God, the Creator, created a blood cell in the womb of Mary that brought forth the Son of God, Jesus Christ. The Catholics are worshiping Mary. They say Mary, Mother of God. God doesn't have a mother. Mary was just an incubator that God just borrowed the womb, and he created the sperm and the egg and brought forth that body, the house that God lived in. The Bible said God was in Christ. Brother Abraham said God just pitched his tent among us. God live in a tent called Jesus Christ. The same God. What must we do to be saved? We live as mortal once. Once. See, you're coming to church, you ain't doing no one a favor. This thing is not a joke. When you come to church, you come to meet God. You didn't come to meet the preacher. You didn't come to impress no one. You're coming for yourself, because we are all passing through. Anybody can die anytime. I can die now. You can die. Anything can happen. We're seeing it now. Sometimes people say, well, I'll wait till I get old. Young people, old people, whatever age, people are dying. It's not the dying, it's the preparation. Are you prepared after you leave here? That's the question. That's why everyone has to check themselves. If you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you should do it now. It's for you. It's a free gift. Who doesn't want to live? God is offering eternal life to anyone who wants it. Whosoever will let him come and take freely. It's a free gift. You can't earn it. Other religions, they're working their ways. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. This is the message the Lord placed on my heart. What must we do to be saved? Salvation is the key. You can come to church all your life, but until you receive Jesus Christ, you're not going to heaven. Because the nature, only the blood of Jesus Christ can cancel that sinful nature. It's the nature. The nature must be changed. Sometimes people come to church, they accept Jesus Christ, but we know that there are three stages, let me put it that way. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. You got to come full circle. So you repent, and then you are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin. Then you got to go on to the Holy Spirit. Let God come and fill you, because it is eternal life. Sometimes people stop at two steps. You can be justified where I've been sanctified, and you can be sanctified where I've been filled with the Spirit. You need all three. It's up to you and me what we do with it. What must we do to be saved? That's the question that faces everyone. We are all crossing over someday, saints. It can be anytime. But you got to make sure, you got to make your calling election sure. You got to make sure you're ready. That's the thing, that's the main thing. You got to make sure you're ready to go. This is something to really think about. If you know you're not there yet, then you need to do something about it. Anytime, anywhere, any day, any night, God is ready. It's up to you. He said, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and you open, I will come in. Only God can save your soul. Only God can change your nature. We were born in sin. We were born with a sinful nature. Our going to church has nothing to do with the nature. Only God can change the nature. You can do good. You can. Paul said, even if I give my body to be burned and I don't have the giver, it don't profit me nothing. You can be Mother Teresa, you can be the Pope, you can be whoever. If that nature is that nature is sin. If that nature is there, when you die, that nature will pull you to hell. It's the nature that has to be changed. The only thing that's protecting us now is the blood of Jesus. That's why God hasn't destroyed this world. The blood of Jesus is covering the earth. So when God looks down at the earth, he doesn't see sin. All sin was expelled. The prophet said, when Christ died, your sin was forgiven. My sin was forgiven. But a pardon is not a pardon until accepted as a pardon. I can take this guitar and hand it to my brother. But until he accepted it, it won't do him no good. May we stand, please. Because of time, I just had to skip and jump all over the place. What must we do to be safe?